Hi, producer Lindsay.
Hey, Momo.
How are you? What do we need to know?
Well, what you need to know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. And I'll take it away, Ramona. So, earlier today, actually just about an hour or two ago, the NFL Players Union released a statement confirming that it has come to an agreement with the NFL on a change to the concussion protocol.
Yep.
The new rule will prevent players from returning to a game if they show gross motor instability, which of course happened to Tua in week 3. The NFLPA called on the league to put the change into effect in time for this weekend's games. And the league released a statement confirming that they had agreed to these changes, but they did not address the union's demand for it to be in effect instantly. So a full explanation of the new protocols can be found at NFL.com. I don't need to get into all the logistics of it. But what you need to know is that they're working on making the concussion protocol better for everybody.
I mean, yeah, of course. They need to, right? I do think the details matter here because clearly the details were not right before.
Yeah, which is crazy.
And they should start it this weekend. Like, I don't see why the NFL would not start it this weekend.
You have to.
It's also, I mean, I like to think, and I used to think like a reactor. I used to think like a hot take person, or not a hot take, but somebody who covers the league, or how do we digest these stories. Now I've learned to think of these as a lawyer.
Right.
Because whenever you have a situation on the field like we saw with Tua, it's legal. Like, now this is, if there's something long term that happens to him and somebody didn't follow protocols, like, they have a legal case.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, he shouldn't have been clear. They fired that doctor. Well, if his career is impacted?
He could sue the league for tons of money.
Yeah. I mean, there's liability. In the business, we call it CYA.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that is what's going on now.
I believe in two acronyms in business.
Yes.
CYA, cover your ass.
Yep.
And then KYP, know your personnel.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. And you have to know that Cappy is Michigas. Mm-hmm. That's what you have to know.
Hella sus.
That is hella sus with sussy sauce on the side.
Say that's
sussy
fast.
Sussy sauce. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Actually, don't. I don't want to get you fired on Friday.
He's helly sus. all right. That is what you need to know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. And if you don't know what the hell we're talking about, Cappy took our Hey King bit and put it on his Cappy Cast t-shirt for his Cappy Cast. And selling it. And not only selling it at a 15% discount today.
Hella sussy.
We need to have like a circle of trust homework assignment. And somebody who listens to that show, the CappyCast show, needs to report back to us and let us know. Is he using the Hey King bit on that show?
Yeah, I need, you know who listens all the time? Dead Meow 5.
Oh, yeah.
We need you, bro.
Dead Meow 5, we need to enlist your services.
Let us know. Yeah. We need to know
what
this.
Other bits is he stealing for the CappyCast? Yes.
He's probably doing all of them.
Yeah.
Think, what if he just does the same show the next day?
He probably does. Ramona, if he did the same show the next day, I feel like I'd have a case.
But yeah. He doesn't have somebody giving him like the crap that we give him every day. Like, he's the man on that show.
What is
it
when you steal? What do they call it when you steal stuff in print?
Plagiarism.
Plagiarism. Yeah. He's plagiarizing our show.
Yeah.
I mean, but the thing is,
it's unethical.
As we say in the business, it's a new audience. It's a different audience.
They talk a lot more San Diego sports down there than we do.
Yeah, I know. It's a new audience. Like, you know, the people who listen at 3 are not the same people who listen at 5 because it usually takes about an hour and a half to get anywhere.
That's true. And he definitely doesn't have a George Sedano on that show. Like, no, not even close.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't have a Lindsay or a Laura to tell him.
I mean, it's kind of like the Cappy Cast Light.
He has no one to keep him in check there.
Yeah.
You know?
Like Bud Light, Cappy Light.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Or Bud Heavy. No, we're more like Modelo.
Yeah, there you go.
No,
there
honey,
go.
We're Tequila Mandala. Okay,
there you
let's
go.
Get it right.
There you go.
Tequila Mandala Añejo, right?
Whoa.
Double Añejo.
Oh, Añejo, yes. Extra Añejo.
Extra.
Extra Añejo. Have you had any of that stuff?
Oh.
Are you a tequila person?
Yeah, I'm a tequila person.
Have you had the Tequila Mandala?
I have not had that. I have had Clase Azul. That's my standard that you must meet.
I'm telling you this.
Will you bring some in?
Do we have Cappies in here?
We do have Cappies.
Oh, we're drinking his,
give it to Momo.
No, we're drinking his tequila.
I will do it.
That is what we're doing.
This is good vengeance.
We are drinking his tequila for infringing on our bits.
I'm so down.
We should totally do it. Yeah. Let's do it. We'll do like a cheers before we go home.
You know what? He's actually had. It's my endorsement.
How long?
And he's had more bottles of it than I've had.
How long has the bottle that we were about to drink, how long has it been here?
It got
2 days, 2-3 days.
He wasn't here.
And has he been waiting for it?
Oh, yeah.
He called dibs on it, but he's losing out on it.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
This is the price you pay.
This is actually good justice.
Yeah.
I like this.
This is like a kangaroo
exchange.
Yeah.
You know?
And we'll take a video.
Yes.
No, no videos. I can't do a video.
No videos. No videos, girl.
Well, no, I was for Jason, not for the
podcast. No, none of those either. No,
no,
videos.
No, no, no.
No videos. But that is the way we're.
I'm a serious reporter.
We're gonna,
you cannot have me having a video.
We're
going to
dispense.
That was dumped.
We're going to dispense justice.
That is right.
Okay. We're going to dispense justice.
And
on
it'll
Kathy
make the second hour of the show go way better.
For his sins.
Loosen up a little bit.
For his sins, we are
Lindsay
going
said to wait
it
till
is
the
Yom
end.
Kippur.
Yeah, we wait till the end of the show. We'll all do like a
we'll
celebratory
one. We'll do
one
for the road. But that's where. But bring the bottle in here.
Yeah,
that
yeah
we can do. That we can take video of the bottle. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the drinking is not. Yeah.
We can take a video of the bottle and then.
Can I take the bottle home?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's yours now.
You should.
Oh, it's yours.
You should. And yeah, it's right beautiful.
It's yours now.
It's a beautiful bottle.
It is.
Cappy.
Oh, yeah. Handmade.
And
yeah
we will not pour one out for Cappy.
No, we
no,
will
we
not.
Won't.
Never pour one out
no,
for him
nope
anymore.
Not
even
ever
if
again
he actually doesn't make it back. How about that?
Cross the line.
Yeah.
Tampoco te pases, but you know.
Like, you no know when Laura's super in touch, you start speaking Spanish.
Yeah.
How you don't get yourself fired on a Friday? Because Cappy's about to.
Yeah, I am absolutely. Yeah. I'm going to tweet this into the community. That we're going to. And
George,
so he sees it.
Are you hopping mad?
I'm annoyed.
Yeah. Hopping mad.
I'm annoyed.
Like, this is the most.
Lindsay called me and I couldn't. I started
we,
laughing. I was like, that mother
bleeper. We finished our
call
and then I was like, I saw it and I called him back and I was just like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
But you know what? He's listening because he's texting me about this.
Oh, good.
Ooh,
we are taking your tequila.
Just you. Not the group thread. Just you.
Well, I texted him something
oh, just
else.
Kidding.
So, and he just texted me out of nowhere. Funny.
Yeah. Well, tell him he's losing his tequila. That's funny, too.
I mean, he'll be like, funny, how? Like, funny, haha? You think I'm a clown?
Yeah.
You know, he'd do that.
Yes, exactly. That's what he would do. But that's, so community right now, we are giving away Cappy's Reposado.
Oh, Reposado, that's my favorite.
Yeah, we're giving it away to Ramona, and we're going to have a little salute on the way out before the end of the show today. So there you go.
So I've normally been a Clase Azulco. That is like the standard that all tequilas are measured against
for
me.
It's so good. Look, that one is good. My parents are from Jalisco, so I know tequila. But, like, not because George endorsed it. Like, I had tried it before. But Tequila Mandala is really, really
smooth. It's really good.
Yeah, it's
really
super high-end stuff.
Yeah.
I'm excited about this.
So, Alan Sliwa's Murphy Bed tweets us and says, Sedano ain't lying. I'm not a big Pitbull fan, but even he was able to get a NASCAR crowd at the Coliseum cheering for him.
Yeah.
Hell, the dude sitting next to me is, I'm not saying that part. but you can read it in the community yourself. But yeah, so Pitbull, he can rock. So can Bruno. Bruno can rock too. All right, so real quick, we got a conundrum here in LA for football with this Cowboys situation. I don't know if you realize this. They are, unfortunately, still America's team in a lot of ways. So they've got the largest fan base.
That's right.
And this particular team and stadium has struggled at times to have the proper representation of their fan base when teams like this come into town. And I feel like this weekend will be no different.
I think this will be even more so than any other time it's ever happened.
Sean McVay has said they're going into, this is like the fifth time in my life I've heard him say this, where they're going into the silent count for practice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look, when the Raiders play in LA, it's going to be a Raider crowd. Yeah. When the 49ers play in LA, it's a 49er crowd.
Are you going to the Raider game?
I'm not in a like going to games
anymore?
Kind of place right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
When the kids are a little bit older, then
yeah,
I will go.
No, I hear you.
Yeah. When like when I don't have to put earmuffs on them and stuff.
I know. I had to do it with Mateo recently.
Yeah, it's a little too much.
Yeah.
I took Daniel to a Dodger game and he was like, it's too loud. And I was like, I'm sorry, they scored 6 runs in the first.
Yeah.
And every time they cheered, he was like,
yes.
What's going on?
Toddler parents know what's up.
Yeah. He mostly just like going up and down the escalator.
Yes. I bet. Kids love constant movement. Baseball doesn't help that way. But yeah, Cowboy fans, there's going to be a lot of them at SoFi this weekend.
A lot. I went to Stanford, okay, as you know.
Yeah, the tree.
We did not have a good crowd.
No.
There's not a lot of fans.
Even when Tiger came, there wasn't that many people.
We used to have this giant stadium. It was like 92,000 people.
Yeah.
And they had it for the World Cup.
Yeah, and the Super Bowl was played there.
And the Super Bowl was played there, and it was like a really nice stadium, but it was giant, and we could never fill it.
Right.
And every time we would play the big game against Cal, I mean,
it was full of cow people.
It was full.
Yeah.
And I'd like to say it was 50-50. It was not 50-50.
Right.
And I can tell you why. Like, there's 1,600 undergrads in each class at Stanford, which means there's only 6,400 undergrads all told.
Right.
In 4 years. Okay.
Yeah.
And there's probably double that in terms of grad students. So altogether, there's probably 13 or 14.
Oh, okay. Got
okay.
It. Yeah.
So 6,400 times two. Okay.
Oh, because I thought you meant I thought you had said twice as many. But
okay.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe there's 13,000 graduate students and undergraduate students in a 90,000 student stadium.
Yeah.
And most Stanford students don't exactly profile as football fans.
Right. That's fair.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then we're like talking about the alumni, and it's not like they all live there.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of people go back home. And
right.
So like we're lucky if we can get 20,000.
Yeah.
Lucky if we, between the alumni and and the current, the student section.
And the Rams were gone for 20 years.
Yes.
So,
it doesn't matter.
They're still building their
family. We still went to the Rose Bowl a bunch of times. Like, it's fine. You get used to it. It's no big deal. It'd be way worse if you were the Chargers and you have absolutely no one.
Right.
Okay?
The Rams will at least have...
The Rams have a crowd most weekends, and it's fine. You just get used to it. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
Get over it.
It's, and that's part of this living here, too, I think, is that you get these situations where people are like, yeah, I want to go to LA. I want to make a weekend of it or whatever.
Yeah.
And they do that. So that's what happens is you have the added attraction of, yes, there's a ton of Cowboy fans. There's plenty of them here, by the way, who live here, who have transplanted for one reason or another because football was gone for 20 years.
Right.
And so you have that group. Then the people that will travel in because, hey, let's make a weekend out of it. And that's what the NFL has turned into college football in a lot of ways with these traveling fans. It feels
like the people who want to go generally have a lot of disposable income.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're talking about when if you're going to make a trip with your team, what cities do you want to go to?
Oh, LA, Miami, right? Like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. It's a weekend.
Yeah.
It's a fun weekend
Vegas,
in LA.
Vegas. Let me tell you, there was a I pointed it out in our community, and the Raider fans got testy with me. But there was a lot of orange last week at the Vegas stadium.
100%. Nobody actually lives in Vegas. I mean, people do live in Vegas, but it's not a...
And Raider fans
there's not a lot of, like, natural-born Vegas people. There's people who, like, move there.
Yeah.
And it's getting bigger, but it's the actual population of, like, born and raised in Las Vegas is not as high as you would think.
Yeah.
Most people have moved there at some point.
But by the way, you did mention how, like, the Chargers is way worse.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even comparable.
I will give them credit. There was more that I did the Jags game there for ESPN Radio. There was more people there than I would have anticipated.
But they were playing the Jags.
Right, but that means a lot of Charger fans were there.
Yeah.
It was. And
how much were those tickets that week?
You could probably, on the secondary market, you could find them really cheap.
So cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, the Chargers are the equivalent of like the worst years of the Clippers. The worst years.
Yeah.
When the Clippers got good, they started developing fans.
Yeah, the Chris
Paul
teams.
The best trajectory for the Chargers is going to be whatever the Clippers moved from San Diego to LA in 83.
Right.
And it took them until the early 2000s really to get
good. Yeah, that Lamar Odom Melton Brand.
Yeah. That team, I would say like late 90s, early 2000s to get kind of good. And they started getting more of a fan. But that's 20 years.
Yeah.
It's 20 years.
But the Chargers at least have the luxury of having a guy who most people think is one of the top five guys at his position.
That really helps because it brings in some fans.
Yeah, 100%.
You can be a Justin Herbert fan without being a Charger fan.
Correct. That's fair. All right, coming up next, LeBron may have earned his Lakers stripes.
Really?
Even beyond the championship.
Ooh.
I'll tell you why next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Did you get the bottle for Momo or no?
Oh, yeah. Let me get that out of my... It's in my cupboard.
Cappy is misbehaved and we are punishing him. We're taking away his reposado and giving it to Momo.
Do you think that he atoned for this?
Does Chris have an actual rejoin for this? Oh, hold on.
Okay.
Chris, we don't want Chris's hard work to go... unheard. Let's hear it. Yeah. Come on, Tony.
Baby.
Toni Braxton, allegedly, and again, now people have denied, many people have denied this, but she was, you know, we were talking about rumors earlier during Crosstalk. Oh. She was part of one of the biggest rumors in NBA history.
Tell me.
You don't know this?
I don't know if I know this.
The Dallas Mavericks, allegedly?
I might know this.
Yeah, that now I don't, now Jim Jackson.
Careful.
Jim Jackson is
yeah.
said that that wasn't true.
Yeah.
I've basically the story goes the legend was
yeah.
Not my story obviously was that she allegedly was trying to date the three stars or that had dated the three stars
in some order.
Right, on the Dallas Mavericks back
okay.
then, Jason Kidd, Jim, and Jamal. And it's been disproven as no, in factually inaccurate. So again, one of those just urban myths. Yeah.
These stories that come out, like there's so many stories. Like when you're covering a team, like people whisper it around. And it's amazing the stuff that you hear that turns out to be just absolutely not true.
Right.
And I almost think it's funnier to figure out where it come from.
Oh, so I've learned that over the years,
uh-huh.
where a lot of the inaccurate information stems from,
yeah.
in NBA circles particularly, yeah. the family room.
The family room.
Because there's a lot of gossiping going on in the family
yeah.
room. Yeah.
Because I always like try to find out, like there was
and for those that don't know, every arena has
yes.
got like a space for all the family of the people in the
right.
organization to just hang out and chill before or after the game, halftime, whatever, so that they can just kind of congregate and, you know, be to themselves, you know.
Yeah, I mean, part of me says that is that makes sense to me because there's a lot of stuff that gets passed around.
Yeah,
and,
it's just a game of telephone.
Yeah, it's a game of telephone.
Yeah.
And then somehow, but mostly what I know to be true is that people who, when there's a hot piece of gossip, you know, as Mark Twain said, and I can quote Mark Twain on your show.
Yes.
A lie gets halfway around the world before the truth puts its pants on. Right?
I like that.
Yeah, it's a good line.
Yeah.
Mark Twain.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He's written a few things.
He's pretty good.
He's written a few things.
Huckleberry Finn, yeah. all that good stuff. But like, you know, that like it's just people want to believe the hot gossip.
They do. They do. Oh, there's your bottle.
Oh, that is a beautiful bottle.
It's a talking piece, really. You know?
It really is.
And we got the t-shirt
oh,
for
wow.
you.
Oh, so pretty, right?
It uh-huh. is pretty. And it's reposado.
They all handcrafted.
I will be drinking this tonight.
Okay.
Hey.
You and Nev Dog.
After my last pump.
Yes, after that.
After,
yes.
Just in case y'all are worried.
Yes. DeadMeow5 tweets in the Circle of Trust. I just saw some hashtag Hey King merch on Santee Alley. 2 for $15 already.
Oh.
Come on, Cappy. How are you going to do this?
If you
like
know,
that?
You know the Santee Alley.
You know yep. it's bad when they're doing the knockoffs.
all right, real quick. Laura, do you have that LeBron sound I sent earlier? Okay.
Wow.
So, obviously, LeBron does the show The Shop on HBO Max.
Yeah.
And I told you the tease was I think he earned his Lakers stripes today. And yeah. look, you would make the case that he already did because he won a championship for this team. But Laura, despite that,
what?
Has given him grief, Momo.
Oh.
LeBron has not. She doesn't fully embrace LeBron, is the way I would describe it.
I respect him. I just don't think he's LA.
Okay.
Come at me, whatever.
Now, with that said, if there's one thing I've learned in the years I've worked with you, is that there's very few things, if anything, that you dislike more than the Clippers. Is that mm-hmm. accurate?
That's true.
Okay. So now, with all that said, Momo, play the clip, Laura.
If my mama played for the Clippers.
It's old.
If my mama played for the Clippers and she in the lane, she getting punched on. And I hope she be like, you know what, son? You got that one. I'm coming back for your ass, though.
Absolutely.
I hope so.
Did he just earn his Lakers stripes?
Maybe. I mean, because, oh my gosh. I'm going to be like, let me consult the fact book, okay?
Yeah.
When LeBron was a free agent in 2010, if you Google this, you will find it.
He did meet with the Clippers.
He did meet with the Clippers.
Yes.
And the Clippers put out a press release about how they got a meeting with LeBron.
Yeah.
So, you know.
It's been 12 years.
It's been 12 years.
Yeah.
He did meet with them.
Yeah.
That was mostly a favor to their old GM, Neil Olshey.
Yeah.
Who he was friendly with and
right.
had a lot of respect for and
right.
all that. From
right.
ABCD camps and all that
right.
kind of stuff.
Yeah, because no one ever actually felt like they were really in the running.
No, but like to even get a meeting is a big deal.
Yeah, yeah. Agreed.
I mean,
there's
know,
only
like,
six teams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they, you know, they put a press release out.
Wow.
It was amazing. That was one of the greatest. Just Google that.
Let me just say this. And I, man, I don't want to be mean, but putting a press release out for that, like, that's not.
I know, but it.
That's an achievement for them.
No.
At the time, it was. I'm telling you, it was at the time.
But that's so sad.
It is, but that's the Clippers.
That's so sad.
Don't hate.
That's not them now.
That's not them now.
That was, but back then, that's wild. Yeah. But anywho, did he just earn his Laker stripes? No.
Not enough for me.
Not enough. Okay.
Like, to me, that's a start.
Yeah, Laura's clapping.
That's a start.
Laura's clapping. Why are you clapping?
Because that's why I love Momo. She gives it 100. Like, I know what she means. No.
That's like low-hanging fruit to me.
Uh-huh.
That's, you know what I mean? Go-to. Like, better, LeBron.
I mean, like, it's a start, but, like, to me, that's easy. Low-hanging fruit.
Easy go-to.
Like, oh, God, how real are we going to be right now? How real am I? Am I going to be 100 right now? I just think there's more that you do to be embraced by the community, like, to get out in the community.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do when you have Sedano and Cap out in the community? You press the flesh a little bit.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you're out there, you meet the people, you have live events, you take pictures, you have the community, you interact with people. There hasn't been a lot of that.
There has not been.
I will say it was COVID and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fair enough. Yeah. But before the COVID, there still wasn't a lot of that.
And, if you remember, he... At the end of his first season, he did the sit down with Jim Hill. And
right.
I thought he made good on that because that was something that was surprising that hadn't happened at the front end. But they recognized that. But I'm with you. And I do think COVID probably plays a part in it. But I'm with you. I think that if I were advising his team, I'd be like, you should press the flesh a little bit in the community.
And also, like, there is...
And by the way, he was obviously in Ohio, everybody knows that. But when I covered him in those years in Miami, dude, he would do these... They would do this... he would do all sorts of stuff in the, like, he'd be out and about constantly, and not just in, like, the trendy areas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And let me be very big picture. He came from Cleveland, and so I understood why he didn't do a press conference with the Lakers when he signed with them.
No, because that already is, you're already kind of leaving again.
Yeah, you're right, leaving again, and you didn't want to rub it in. And his first public appearance after signing with the Lakers was back in Cleveland.
Yeah.
You know, it was like there was a sort of leaving your hometown twice and not wanting to rub it in and why he left and explain that. And that is understandable. And I think that was probably the right PR decision. Even that year, there was that weird, like, maybe there was an event at Blaze Pizza, right? Like, that part. Didn't,
right. It did fell through.
Yeah.
Right.
And as somebody who I used to press the flesh a lot more, but now I have two babies and I just have a lot going on. And when I have a choice of, like, do I want to go? Like, I went to the softball game, right? Because you guys asked me to go and it was fun and I wanted to meet the listeners and say hi to people that. But I don't go to every event anymore because I got a lot going on.
Yeah.
You know, you got the baby. He needs the meat. He needs to eat.
Yeah.
He needs the mom.
Yeah.
You know, like, you gotta. And LeBron has, like, three kids who need him, and he goes to Bronny's games all the time and Bryce's games all the time. So, like, I want to give him credit there. Like, there's a total logical explanation, which is, like, he's out in LA all the time. It's just at Sierra Canyon games.
Right.
That's totally fair.
Right.
So that's not it's not a criticism, but in terms of, like, embracing the town, them embracing him.
Well, I think
you got to do more than, like, tee off on the Clippers to me.
Okay,
and what low hanging fruit.
I think that I think what people, if you're here long enough, if you're out and around long enough, you realize to people outside of here, LA is just Hollywood and Beverly Hills and it's not. There's a lot like any big city, there's a lot of different communities. Now in this town, because it's so big, there's a lot of different kinds of communities. And I think that the athletes who come here who are the smartest in this regard from a marketing perspective are the guys who make sure to embrace every single pocket of those different communities.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, I always think that one of the reasons, like, why I go to events is I think it's super important to show people that you care about that connection. You're
correct.
Not just some voice on the radio or some voice on TV. Like, you actually want to meet them and you'd be a real person.
100%.
So it's I'm interested, right? Like, you're interested in what resonates and you're interested in the people. This is your town, this is your city. And so there's a bandwidth issue that I think is important there and why there hasn't, and there's a COVID issue and yada, yada, yada.
Right.
But to me, like, teeing off on the Clippers, how easy is that?
All right.
You know?
There you go.
he did a lot. He earned a lot more Laker stripes to me after Kobe Bryant passed.
No, no question.
And he really stepped forward publicly and helped the franchise and the city grieve.
100%. 1,000,000% there. We agree there. All right, coming up next, Radio Tinder, award-winning. I don't know if you heard about that.
Oh.
Award-winning Radio Tinder.
I have heard about this, but it has never been confirmed.
Yeah.
That's right. You weren't there.
I wasn't there.
At the Mandy's.
Yeah. I need some more sourcing.
Yeah, there you go.
Thanks, Christopher. But first.
Oh, yeah. Make sure that you do swipe right on the award-winning Tequila Mandala, who is the presenter of Radio Tinder, the award-winning Radio Tinder. Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala, award-winning small-batch premium sipping tequila made from the finest mature agaves, available everywhere fine tequilas are sold. Visit their website, tequilamandala.com. Up your game and demand the extraordinary with Tequila Mandala. By the way, Blake Harris, our Dodger insider. You know this kid? You know this kid, Blake Harris?
Yeah.
He's good.
I know. I listened to him on your show.
He's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's coming up next. All right, but go ahead.
We can ask him about Craig Kimbrell and stuff. He's going to be on the roster, all the good stuff.
Yeah. Ask him about the games today. Like, yeah. He's good. Yeah.
Cool.
Well, speaking of Tequila Mandala, we're going to be swiping right on that later in the show. So
yeah.
Make sure you guys all stay tuned for
that. I hope that you learn your lesson, Cappy.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to make you pay up somehow.
Yep.
All right, so we've been talking about the footage of Draymond Green punching his teammate Jordan Poole in closed practice. Of course, there's also one big question that was on the minds of plenty of people. How much did TMZ pay to obtain this video?
Mm.
Well, we might have an answer. Former TMZ host Van Lathan estimated that TMZ paid anywhere between $50,000 and $100,000 for that video that he said was probably worth upwards of $150,000 based on his knowledge of how the company operates. So, assuming this had to be worth the money for whoever sold it, let's say that you guys were in the situation and you were offered 3 years worth of salary to sell the tape. Would you even consider it? Swipe left or swipe right, Sedano?
3 years is not enough. I think that, you know, like if I were being honest, 3 years because of what I do for a living currently. If I'm just some random person who is a blue collar making, you know, whatever that, you know, you're making that is probably not enough, to be honest with you. Then I may, you know, consider it differently, you know, like. If you're in a desperate situation and someone's willing to give you 3 years worth of salary and you are someone that you don't think will ever get caught and you're in a tough spot financially, like I get that person.
So if you, let's say if you're this guy, this video, whoever it was, who was an employee who, you know, maybe a vendor, whatever the case is. And let's say they're one of those underpaid, underappreciated guys.
If it's not, I don't think it's a team related person. I don't think a team related person would do that. I think that. It could be like anyone else, like Ramona said, a vendor or whatever.
Right.
You know, it could be random people because a ton of random people come in and out of the arena all the time.
I mean, it could have been an usher picking up their paycheck.
And there's monitors everywhere.
Right.
But yeah, if I'm one of those people, Lynn's like, and I'm not making a ton of money and I don't have anything to lose in the sense of like credibility. Like if I did, I would lose credibility.
Right.
So I could not do that based on what I do for a living. But I get someone being in a tough spot financially and saying, yeah, I can make a ton of money off of this.
So you'd consider it if that were you.
If I were in that person's situation?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Ramona, how about you?
I don't know that I would. I think I would be too nervous. Like,
but you're looking at through you're again
through my
veterana, a veteran. You're a veteran journalist. You're looking at it through different eyes.
I know. It's true. Like if I was just a person selling pretzels at Chase Center.
Now Laura says, I love when Laura goes astrology on us.
Oh,
we don't do more. We should do more of this on
the air.
Yes.
Okay. Especially when you have me here.
Yeah. Go ahead. Why did you say Momo said she wouldn't
it's
do
your
it?
Cancer side. It wouldn't let you.
Yeah.
You're too honest.
It's true.
Yeah.
Like I would be
the same.
What does cancer have to do with this?
Go ahead,
because
Laura.
We're very honest. Like
okay.
We're very, like I, what was the first thing I said when that happened? I said, your credibility shot for that
you
amount.
Did.
Idiots. Yeah. I said, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
And I can't lie.
But I get it if someone did it. I get it. If it's some random person who's not, you know, working for a team. If it works for a team, that's a different story, too. Like, you work for the team, you deserve to get your ass canned.
Yeah, because you're going to be blackballed, like, from the league, mm-hmm. probably. You won't get another
There's
job.
There's also, like, when I saw the video, when it kind of changed people's thinking, right? Like, it's one thing to hear that he lunged at him and threw a punch. It's another thing when you see it and how violent it is. It's like, whoa.
It's a real punch.
And so there might be somebody who has a sort of moralistic idea that they're like a whistleblower almost. Like, hey, you know, you can't just have a press conference and make this go away, right? Like, whoever leaked it may have had an agenda.
Right. That's fair too. Right. It could be someone like that.
What if it was like someone in like, you know, within the organization that doesn't want Draymond there anymore?
That person should be fired.
Yeah, yeah, they should. They definitely should. But I get it. I mean, if that's me and I feel like I've got nothing to lose and this is just like.
If you're just someone that's not related to that organization and you're on tough times, I get you selling that thing.
Especially for like $150,000. Like,
that's a lot of money, man.
If it really fetched that.
Well,
if
I mean,
let's just use that as the example. Van Lathan did work for them.
Yeah,
so.
And you'd have to think, regardless of who you are, even in this situation, if you're like an underpaid worker,
I mean, listen,
there are stakes here.
Van, I know he listens to the station.
Yeah, he does.
Confirm.
Yeah,
give us a call, Van.
Yeah,
give us a shout, yes. All right, Linz, what's next?
All right, so staying on the subject of punching and fights, my nephew actually got in a fight at school today.
Oh, no.
So he's 11, and a classmate and him got into an argument, and the kid pushed my nephew. My nephew punched him in the jaw, and they both got suspended. Now, my nephew's dad, who's my brother-in-law, he said he's going to call the principal because he doesn't think that Cameron should be disciplined for defending himself. The kid admitted that he started the fight, and he puts his hands on my nephew first. So I feel like this is kind of similar to the Draymond situation, so I wanted to ask you guys, if you think that my nephew should be suspended, swipe left or swipe right, Ramona, you go first.
So the other kid pushed him, and then he hit the kid back?
Yep. Kid shoved him, and then he turned around and punched him in the face.
How old is your nephew?
11.
Ooh, this is where we get into this gray area.
Yeah.
Right.
Probably. They probably both need to get suspended.
Yeah, I think you should both get suspended, but I think that your nephew should get... If it's true the other kid admitted to starting the whole thing, I think that your nephew probably gets like a day less.
Yeah. I said on the bright side, I don't think he'd be getting suspended if he got his butt kicked, right? Because usually they feel bad for that kid.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
That's not true. My brother got suspended too.
Yeah.
He got his butt.
Well, I mean,
your poor brother taking
his
strength.
Well, he's autistic.
You just let that out there, huh?
No, well, he's autistic, so I was really mad that the other kid punched him.
Right, but you still have to give him a stray, you know?
Yep. I mean, he don't listen. It's okay.
I'm just saying. I appreciate your love for him.
Be honest.
For being special needs, but he don't deserve a stray.
I'm just saying.
Bullying is a big problem these days.
It is.
It is a big
problem.
Tell your kids, don't
be a jerk.
That's what I told Lindsay. I'm like, parents need to be better because your kids are out here being little punks.
Yeah.
You know?
Kids are tough.
That's why we don't have kids
and you guys have kids.
Yeah. Honestly, that's
Ramona
why.
Ramona has a look of concern.
The biggest reason why I don't want to have kids is after like seeing some of the things that my nephew went through, even as a toddler, it scares the crap out of me.
Same.
I have like very nuanced views of this now because my kid is at this age. A couple years ago when we first started preschool, we went to like an orientation at a park.
Yeah.
And it was back when, you know, COVID was raging and all that stuff. So they did it at the park, not the school. So it'd be outdoors and stuff. And he was playing with these kids. And like I was right there. And Daniel was like a little bit like had never been around other kids because we'd been home for like a year and a half. Yeah, right. Yeah. And this little kid, like he's playing with these other kids, and this kid just picks up some sand and throws it right in his face.
Oh my goodness.
And I was like, you wouldn't go throw that at my kid like that. That's not okay, right? But I also was like, well, he doesn't know. I mean, he probably thinks it's like playing, you know? Yeah. So I just kind of went over to Daniel. I was like, are you okay?
Yeah. Like, that's the move.
Right? Are you okay?
Right, because like, they're like two, right?
Yeah.
At that stage.
Right? They're like two. And so. And then now, you know, I see sometimes like when they try to share, when they don't share, like
Laura said what?
I would fight. Like, I would be that mom.
What am I going to do? Push a little 2-year-old?
No, but like, I would mom. Go square up the mom. Like, yo, take care of your.
I know, yeah. I know.
Take care of your business, girl.
Like, if it was my kid who threw the sand at somebody,
you know, I would say,
you just, Daniel, you need to say you're sorry. Like, you need to say sorry for that. And then I would, like, apologize profusely to his parents.
Right?
Right? Like,
but you're
so
good
sorry.
Mom.
No, if I'm the kid, if I'm the parent of the kid who threw the sand, even if he did it with zero malice, you have to absolutely, that person's. That kid's parent needs to say to you, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Is he okay?
Yeah.
They need to learn.
Did they do that?
I don't think the mom was there. Like, they were just like chatting. Like, the parents weren't really watching them.
So nobody saw it except you.
Yeah, except for me. And I was like,
like, that's a tough one.
Like, the moms were off standing there talking. They were at the playground, you know, and they're just.
Keep an eye on your kids, people.
I know.
Well, that too.
But like, if my kid like
keep an eye on your
bumps into somebody,
too, by the way.
All I want to know is if the other parent is like apologetic and like sorry and apologize and yada. Like, you know.
But real quick, keep your
11. I think you both.
Yeah, they both
suspended.
Can go. Yeah. Both can go down. Yeah. But on people, keep your dogs on your leashes too. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like in a public space, not everybody likes dogs. I love dogs, but I've seen that dog experience go poorly. You know
what I mean? Yeah, it happened to my dog when he was at the dog sitter when I was in Vegas or at the doggy hotel, and he got bit, and it's bad. It's like starting to get infected and stuff. I got to take him to the vet, and it's like...
It's expensive.
Yeah. Sucks. Sucks. Yeah. All right, so real quick, I got one more.
Go ahead.
Earlier this week, I ordered for food from Uber Eats, and the delivery guy forgot the drink, but apparently realized it, and a good 15 minutes later, he came all the way back to my door to drop it off.
This is a very Lindsay-centric radio Tinder. I like this. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, you know, there's not a lot of news
No,
today.
It's good. I like it. I just said I like it. Go ahead.
So last night, my friend and I ordered some slushies to go with our movie and popcorn, and when they arrived, they were totally melted, and one was completely upside down.
Your fault.
Okay, well, let me finish. It was completely upside down in the bag, totally spilled. You know, we ordered slushies because we were in the middle of a movie and we wanted slushies.
Slushies on a delivery app? That's a terrible idea.
It's like ice cream on a delivery app.
No chance. Don't do that either.
All right. Well, take that part out of it.
Yeah. I'm actually with Lindsay on this one.
You're crazy.
I have ordered smoothies on Postmates.
Listen, never. It's one thing if you get it and it's melted. I get that. But it was completely upside down and spilled out in the bag.
Okay.
I actually agree with you.
I have a picture. Okay.
I have a picture. You sound like you're yelling at me like I'm the person who was at
It was egregious. It was almost like it was done on purpose because that's how, he drops off the bag.
Hey, I don't work for Postmates, lady. I'm sorry. This is not Postmates.
Look, all you got to do is write into Postmates and they'll credit you back.
I did.
But it's still disappointing because you wanted to flush it, right?
But here's the other thing. Don't be ordering stuff that can melt. That's stupid.
I don't care that it was melted.
You know what I do?
Stupid.
When I order the smoothies on Postmates, I get it priority.
I did get a priority.
Come on. No, it's still dumb.
That's not the problem.
That's actually, hold on. If you order something that can melt on priority, Momo, I love you, but that's even dumber. What the hell are you doing?
Why? Why is it dumber?
Why are you spending more money?
It was
for
a dollar
that's
more.
Gonna melt?
I didn't care that it was melted.
It's going to melt no matter what is my point.
I wanted it to be fast.
And I feel like if they get a little extra in the tip or the
Same
priority
with me.
Delivery.
I gave them a $10 tip for two slushies.
I don't know, man.
Listen, just let me finish. All I'm saying is I was mad because it was completely dumped upside down, almost as if it was done on purpose.
I get that you say that.
I agree.
Would you change the tip? Would you ever, based on your delivery driver, change the tip?
I am going to pull the ripcord here. I would never be in that situation because I would never be someone who would order something that could melt on a food app.
Listen, I have ordered
on a delivery app
smoothies from Postmates.
I deserve
at least 10 times. At least, okay? I was very pregnant for like the last year and postpartum. Okay. And I was like, I want a smoothie.
For real.
Where was Nev Dog?
Watching the toddler.
Okay. Like, I've ordered stuff numerous times. I order milkshakes and they're not dumped over and spilled out. I've ordered smoothies many times, and I've never had one be melted.
I always have this problem, priority and a nice tip.
No.
I do feel a little bit ridiculous ordering like a couple smoothies from Robex on Postmates. Like I'm like this
is like
a waste.
I do it all the time.
By the way,
I do it all the time.
Yeah.
Nev Dog can't throw Daniel in the car and go get it real quick in the drive-thru?
It's just a pain, you know? Yes. There's no drive-thru at the smoothie place.
Okay, yes, but smoothie, ice cream, anything.
I order ice cream on Starbucks. I want to answer really quick. The only time
I changed the tip is if like I started, like let's say I gave like a $6 tip, but they went over and above, then I add it. But I've never taken.
So what if you over, like me, I've ordered milkshakes, smoothies, whatever, and I know I want to get it faster, so I'll give them a higher tip because it's like, hey, this person
that actually doesn't work,
whatever. Well, that's what I'm saying. So after the fact, like, have you ever gotten? If you guys would never order anything that could possibly melt, let's say you got something and like your cheeseburger was like completely smashed or half unrolled or something like that. Would you lower the tip then?
No.
I wouldn't lower the tip.
No.
I would keep it at just like 10%. I would keep it kind of small.
I didn't change
but I would
the tip
also I would write
bad.
To Postmates That's and I would I, yeah. I would write to Postmates and I would take a picture of it and they would
and
probably give me
credit
a credit. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I did. Yeah. I didn't change the tip because I was like, who knows, maybe this guy's just having a bad day, whatever. But I wanted to because I was like, this is egregious.
I know. Lindsay, I've been there with you.
But you ordered melting stuff,
girl. You're crazy.
No, the upside down part is that's the part
that's
not
right.
You know what?
Right.
But it could have been an accident.
Okay.
Well,
then
he should have been like knocked on the door and been like, oh, I'm sorry about this, or there was an accident, whatever. We communicated.
All right.
Let's be
real about this. This is a story about crumbling values in our country. You need to have pride in your work. Whether that's driving for Uber or hosting a radio show or working wherever
or
you work.
Or not ordering ice cream or icy.
No, you need to have pride in your work. Like, you should have like this idea that I want to do a good job. Like, there's plenty of days where we don't feel good. We have a bad day, but we still show up to work and we put a happy face on and we do a good
job. Maybe it wasn't him,
Momo.
Maybe it was a person that packaged it.
Yeah, but he knew driving in.
It was in a clear
car,
bag.
It was upside down.
It was in
you
a clear bag, and then it was spilled all in the bag. So
yeah,
when I got
cool.
it, it was
not
leaking
cool.
out of the bag.
Tortuga Borracho tweets us in the Sedano and Cap community, and we're way late for poor Blake.
Yeah.
I do DoorDash all day and listen to 710. Most people don't tip regardless, is what he said.
What?
That's true. So the boo did Uber Eats and
that's
does
terrible.
Whatever, and he's like, dude, I've done like 100 and something of really bougie deliveries and no tip.
That's terrible.
That's crazy, right?
I tip even when I do takeout.
I tip a lot.
I've been doing that for 10 years, like, or longer. Like, even takeout, I'll give you some money.
I think people need to tip.
Absolutely. Agreed. All right, we're done because we're way over. Blake Harris, Dodger Insider next.
I like Paula Abdul.
Oh, my God. She was my favorite on American Idol.
I love her, man. Like,
back in the day.
Like, I mean, just her whole career story.
It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This song is ridiculous, though.
Oh, it is ridiculous. I don't think there's any question. But, yeah, her career arc is awesome. I loved her growing up. I loved her on American Idol.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, straight up now, tell me. I mean, these are not, like, amazing lyrics, amazing songwriting, amazing singing.
Okay.
But that girl could perform.
Yeah, yeah.
So, she could sell it. I mean, she went out there with that animated cat.
Yeah. An animated cat.
She sold that.
In the 80s.
Opposites attract, right?
Yeah. Or maybe early 90s. Nonetheless. Yeah. Yeah.
Late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah. She was
we come together because I can still see her dancing with the animated cat.
Right.
Who was that guy? Who was that character?
I think it was like Scat Cat or
Scat
something
Cat.
Like that.
Yes, it was Scat Cat.
We had this combo with Cappy.
Excellent work. She made the most of her moment.
Yeah, she really did.
Yeah.
Extended it for a long time. She was American Idol for a long time.
Yeah, she did. All right, let's go to Blake here. Blake Harris. Sorry for boring you with Paula Abdul stuff there. And I don't know, do you order anything that can melt on Postmates or Grubhub or one of those delivery apps?
So, yeah, I was talking with Lindsay about this at the break, and I don't necessarily, it's been many years since I've used it just because I don't want to take out a deposit to order one meal from those apps, but Lindsay's right. It happens, and things can be a disaster. I've always wondered why people will get things like frozen yogurts or ice cream. That's been my biggest question mark through this whole delivery service because that's easily going to melt, but people have no problem with it. So I don't know. I just like to stay away. That's my best advice. Just stay away and save $150 for one meal.
There's that as well. All right, Blake, we only have, unfortunately, like 6 minutes with you because we screwed up the clock talking about that for too long. Let's do Dodgers first and then talk big picture today. Dodgers right now, who's off the postseason roster that will, I guess, spark interest in that discussion, in your opinion?
It's a tough one because on yesterday's episode of my podcast I did, we broke down the Dodgers postseason roster with the bullpen, and it is going to be more difficult than I was expecting. We went through all of the locks and all the guys we thought would be on the roster, and Craig Kimbrel wasn't on there.
Wow.
A guy like Caleb Ferguson wasn't on there. So obviously there's some question marks with Dustin May and Blake Treinen if they're ready to go. If they're healthy and both those guys, they sound like they are, they're probably going to be on the roster. So I have no idea what direction the Dodgers are going to go in because they have about 16, 17 guys that are going to be fighting for 13 spots. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun to see what they go with on Tuesday morning when they release that roster.
Blake, how does this work? Do they have one roster and then they can adjust it per each game, or does it lock in for that series?
Yeah, so pretty much for each series, you lock in your roster. That's who you got to go with. And I believe the only way you can make any adjustment is if there's a player that gets hurt.
Right.
So you have to put them on the IL. But I think the rule is if you put a player on the IL, they're unavailable for the next series.
Ooh.
So you can't, you know, use like strategy to kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a hard roster. So if you're not on that roster come Tuesday, you're not pitching until the next series if you make it there.
Well, it was interesting watching the team down the stretch, especially the last couple of games. They were still kind of searching for a closer. Like, it was just, you know, one night it was Vesia and then Conley. And do they have a closer? Is it going to be by committee? Did somebody distinguish themselves? Is it going to be matchup based? Like, where do they land with this?
Yeah, I kind of liked it the last couple of weeks. It was kind of like open tryouts to kind of prove what you can do. So I think, like what you said, I think it's going to be more closer by committee. Just play the matchups, play, you know, whichever hot hand you want to go with. So, yeah, I don't think we're going to see a certain guy, you know, locked into the ninth. And I think, you know, my buddy and I, we set an over-under on how many different pitchers we're going to see in the ninth inning, and I put the over at 4.5. I really think we're just going to see a variety of different guys. Now, obviously, that's the over's hitting if the Dodgers go deep into the playoffs, which we're all hoping. But I think we're going to see a lot of different guys in the ninth inning.
Blake Harris, follow him on Twitter, at Blake Harris TBLA. Follow his Substack and subscribe there as well. And, of course, listen to the podcast Inside the Ravine. Okay, so what is outside of the pitching, right? If there was one thing that could derail this thing, because they're clearly the favorite. I don't think there's any question about that. And the expectation is you got to win a World Series, even though Dave Roberts has tried to de-escalate some of that. And understandably so, because baseball is super random. But what is the one thing that concerns you beyond the obvious that we've discussed all season? What is the one little hole that you're like, I hope that doesn't come back to bite them?
I honestly just think it's the offense going cold. I mean, we saw the last two weeks, Dodgers offense has been near the bottom in all of baseball. I know a lot of people are saying they're taking their foot off the gas because they won the division, which I can get behind, but they look completely checked out there. And we've seen the Dodgers in years past, they'll just have stretches where they just cannot hit the ball. And in October, you're facing some really good pitching. So if the Dodgers have to face the Mets with DeGrom and Scherzer, or if they're facing the Padres with Darvish and Snell, I wouldn't be shocked if the Dodgers' offense just goes quiet and they score one run. So we know the pitching's there. The pitching's going to be dominant. But, yeah, with the guys at the top of the lineup, if for some reason Freddie Freeman just has his worst five-game stretch of the season, if Mookie struggles, if Trey struggles, that's my biggest concern. The offense goes quiet because we've seen them. They average the most runs of any team in baseball this season. But the playoffs are a different beast. So hopefully the offense isn't putting up a dud like we saw the last couple of weeks.
Do you think they get cute like they did last year with the openers and the, you know, starter, the relievers starting the game and the starter going three innings? Like, do you sense that with any of the games? Probably not the Aureus game or the Kershaw game, but as they get deeper into the pitching rotation?
Quickly, we only have about a minute.
Yeah, funny you just said that. I say no for Julio and Kershaw, but I just have a weird feeling that for, like, Tony Gonsolin and Tyler Anderson, maybe, like, Andrew Heaney, Dustin May, maybe they're used as an opener for one or two innings. We'll see. I mean, the Dodgers have a lot of pitchers that are going to have to pitch innings, so I wouldn't be surprised. At this point, nothing will surprise me that the Dodgers do in October because we've seen them, you know, do so many things. So I'm just going to sit back and watch and hope I see a lot of victories over the next few weeks.
There he is, Blake Harris. Follow him on Twitter again, Blake Harris TBLA. Subscribe to the Substack and listen to the podcast Inside the Ravine. Thank you, brother. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for coming on a Friday.
Thanks so much, guys. Enjoy the rest of your weekend over there.
You too, pal. See ya. All right, we got to take a quick break. Coming up next, let's kind of reset with some of the stuff we were talking about earlier. The big story of the day, the Draymond Green situation. What could the fallout be and how it could potentially help the Lakers? We'll get to some of that in a moment. Stick around.